This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Sports Saturday morning. Time to join Tim Mize. Tim?
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and good morning. And you heard in the highlight package there, the Gillespie Indians junior high baseball team will play in the state semifinals today as they won their quarterfinal game yesterday over Beecher 11-1. We'll have live coverage coming up top of the hour here on FM 106 from the Eastside Center in East Peoria as the Gillespie Indians take on Totopolis in the junior high baseball state semifinals this morning here on FM 106. And the other part of that highlight package was the awesome Jacob Dixon in Carlinville's win last night over Gillespie 51-7. Dixon scored all seven of the Cavvy touchdowns, six of them of the rushing variety, and the kickoff return was the opening kickoff of the second half that Dixon took back to the house as the Cavvies improved to 5-1 on the year with a 51-7 win over Gillespie. We'll be talking to Cavaliers head coach Chad Easterday in just a moment here on Sports Saturday. In a game heard last night on 105.3 The Ox, the Roxana Shells picked up their first win of the year. They beat Litchfield 48-7. The Vandalia Vandals handed Hillsboro their first loss of the year in overtime 34-27. So Vandy and Hillsboro both now 5-1 on the year. Southwestern shut out Staunton 14-0. And Pena remained undefeated as they beat Greenville 37-12. So through 6 weeks, Pena is 6-0 in the South Central. And then you have Carlinville, Hillsboro, and Vandalia all sitting at 5-1. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Mr. Chad Easterday. And Chad, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, last night was certainly interesting. You got some rain in the first half, and from a coaching perspective, I assume it's fun to stand on the sideline in a rain shower.
Personally, no, but that's that's part of football, and you practice wet ball drills and all that good stuff. So you try to prep for it, but you can't get that part done. But I thought our kids handled the rain and the adversity really well. We didn't turn the ball over. Shotgun snaps were fine. So I was proud of them for that.
Offensively, defensively, and the special teams last night, really about as good as you could hope for realistically.
Yeah, defensively, I think we held them to under 100 yards, which I was very happy for. Special teams, we got two block punts, which is something we worked on. We haven't gotten all season, and we ended up taking a kickoff return back as well. So, it's very well put. Those things we work at practice, and I'm glad to see them pay off in the game.
Chad, it seems every time I see you guys this year, your defensive line is just living in the backfield.
Well, I tell you what, we talked preseason that was going to be something that we needed to work on and to do, and I think our kids have taken some pride in the defensive side of the football, and it sort of paid off. So the last couple of weeks, we've been pretty good on defense, and hopefully we can continue to do that. We got a big test for us next week with Hillsboro, so it'll be a good challenge.
Last night, Jacob Dixon scored all seven of your touchdowns. He just continues to do stuff that just leaves you shaking your head, or at least me.
Well, I tell you what, he's just an extremely fun athlete to watch. He gets things done in the most difficult situations. I think he excels when it gets crowded in there, and it's some things you just can't coach, and you can't coach that part of that acceleration. I watched him last night for the first time be really tough between the tackles, ran through some tackles, which I thought was very impressive, that type of stuff.
Chad, I've noticed that you guys this year, I've seen it a lot throughout high school football the last number of years, but varying the depth of your kickoffs, whether it's a straight onside kick or maybe a little onside style pooch kick, just talk about strategically what that forces your opponent to do in preparing for you guys.
Well, I'm a special teams nut to begin with. Five of them, I think it's a lost art in coaching. I think people don't have to practice it. They don't try to practice it a lot or whatever. But we started this kickoff this year, and it really puts a lot of strain on the return teams because every kid out there not only has a blocking assignment, but now has to be expecting the football. And when that happens to you, they kind of lose track of where their guy is, where it is, and but you have to be willing to take the gambling side of it. If you don't get a few onside kicks, you shorten your field for your defense. So, it's a gamble, but it definitely strains the return team.
And the other thing that I like what you guys do, Hillsboro does it as well, Adam Walton not only is he your quarterback, but he also doubles as your punter. So that really allows you guys to not come out in that straight punting formation.
Yeah, well, that's the second thing. We've been blessed with Joe Beastrick could punt, and so could Adam Walton. And we haven't had to punt this year inside the 20. We have that team ready, but, you know, it definitely strains. Once again, no return. He doesn't have to be a great punter for that to happen. He just got to get the ball kicked end over end for about 30 yards and cover it. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun personally, but, our kids have taken a lot of pride in it and they like it. So, you know, we're going to keep doing it.
Do you work with your quarterbacks on that, or has that kind of become a happy coincidence that your quarterbacks have been able to double as punters?
I'll tell you what, it started a long time ago with Zach Dixon. We had a little, athletic code violation, so to speak, and he found him by accident, and then we have converted every quarterback into punters of some type. So, that's definitely, been part of our program, I guess, to say. It's not the end to be all. If you're a quarterback can't punt, I don't think we'd shoot you, but, we definitely will try to work with them in the off season on punting, the technique of punting. There's some rugby style punting techniques to get the ball to bounce end over end that we try to get them to do.
Chad, you mentioned it earlier. Big game next week at Hillsborough. You're both 5-1. Toppers suffered their first loss of the season last night, but this is going to be a smash mouth type of football game.
Yep, both of us run very similar styles of defense. Both Coach Duff and I have similar philosophies on defense in terms of tackling and holding kids very, very high accountability for that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's going to be a great atmosphere. We got the freshman game before, which I like, and it should be fun.
Absolutely. Chad, did you guys come out healthy last night?
Hello?
Did you come out healthy last night, Chad?
All right, thank you.
All right. We lost a little bit of a connection there, but that was going to be the last question anyway. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. They are 5-1 on the year. A very impressive win last night over Gillespie, 51-7. And it was just how they did it. Just very methodical, workmanlike effort as they win it 51-7 last night over the Gillespie Miners. We've given you the South Central scores. Let's run down the Sangamo action last night as the North Mac Panthers remain undefeated. They beat Pleasant Plains 22-20. North Mac now 6-0 on the year. They are the last undefeated team standing in the Sangamo Conference as Athens fell last night at home to Marrora Forsyth 21-19. So Athens and Marrora Forsyth both 5-1. Williamsville improved to 5-1 with a 63-21 win over New Berlin. So you've got Williamsville, Marrora, and Athens all at 5-1. North Mac at 6-0. Auburn back to .500. They beat Riverton 54-20. And Pittsfield picked up their first win of the year, 14-8, over Porta. In the Prairie State Conference last night, South Fork shut out Nokomis 36-0. And Mount Olive beat Metro East Lutheran 26-8. Couple of games today in the Prairie State. Bunker Hill is at Alton Marquette, and Wood River travels to Pawnee. In the WIVC South last night, Calhoun defeated Greenfield Northwestern 18-14. Carrollton over North Green 51-14. And in the WIVC North, it was Triopia over Beardstown 20-15. And Camp Point Central beat Brown County 21-13. Minden Unity shut out Jacksonville Route 55-0. In the CS8 last night, Griffin beat Southeast 42-0. Rochester over Decatur MacArthur 64-19. Chatham Glenwood beat Eisenhower 42-36. Jacksonville shut out Lincoln 42-0. And Lanphier survived Springfield High 15-14. In the Apollo Conference, it was Taylorville over Effingham 28-19. Mattoon shut out Salem 26-0. And Mount Zion blanked Charleston 40-0. In the Southwestern Conference, East St. Louis beat Edwardsville 20-10. O'Fallon over Granite City 44-34. And Collinsville beat Alton 33-30. Other scores around the area last night, Highland over CM 26-21. Arcola beat Decatur Lutheran 8-6. Argenta Orienta beat Cerro Gordo 54-20. Decatur St. Teresa over Central A&M 34-0. Hayworth doubled up Fisher 28-14. Monticello shut out Casey Westfield 36-0. Shelbyville all over Macon Meridian 44-6. Clinton beat Sullivan Ocala Valley 51-20. Tuscola over Warrensburg Latham 56-27. Columbia hammered Freeburg 51-6. Bree Central beat Redbud 42-33, and Waterloo survived Jersey 34-28. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will try to catch up with Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff and North Mac head coach Shane Owsley when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. It's a big sports day here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We've got junior high state tournament baseball from Peoria. Gillespie taking on T-Town. Live coverage coming up 10 o'clock this morning here on FM 106. We'll stream that online at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinal baseball today, Redbirds hosting the Pirates live at 11:10 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Cardinals one game behind the Giants for that second wild card spot with just two games remaining. The Giants won last night over the Dodgers 9-3, so the Redbirds won back. And the Fighting Illini begin Big Ten play today. They are on the road at Nebraska. We'll have live coverage of Fighting Illini football this afternoon at 1:30 on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. And should the Gillespie Indians beat T-Town today, we'll have the state championship game this afternoon at 4:30 on FM 106. If Gillespie were to lose this morning to T-Town, we'll have the third place game at 2:30, also live here on WSMI FM 106. Well, last night in Vandalia, it was the game of the night in the South Central Conference. In overtime, the Vandals hand Hillsborough their first loss of the year, 34-27. And head coach Aaron Duff joins us on the phone right now. Duffy, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And you guys played a wild game, maybe the last time you were in Vandalia as well, didn't you?
Yep. Came down to the last play. It always does. We just ended up on the short end this time, and very proud of our guys. We fought back, got down late, and came back and tied it up. We had our chances. We had a chance to win it twice on an extra point, and then with about a second left on the one-yard line, and had a turnover. So we had our chances, some little mistakes. Vandalia's a good ball club. We're close to being a really good football team. We just made too many little mistakes.
And I guess, Duffy, when you have two shots like that to win late, that doesn't give you a good feeling going into overtime.
No, but, I mean, I was still confident because we had moved the ball all night, and I felt good that, you know, that our kids had fought back and tied it. I mean, it was maybe a minute and a half, and we drove the field, got a couple nice passes and scored. So I still felt good about our chances.
Was it raining at all in Vandalia last night? It rained in Carlinville.
Yes, it was sloppy. It really was. The field got worse as the night went on. We had a couple turnovers, I would say, due to that. But they had to play in the same field conditions we did. So really hard-fought game both ways. We were up 21-7 with about 6 minutes left in the third, and they came back, and then we came back. So it was a heck of a ball game. We just wanted to come out on the other end.
Duffy, tell me if I'm wrong here, because I might be, but I got the sense last week talking to you after you beat Gillespie, you won, but you weren't happy. And last night, you lost. And while not happy, it sounds like you are pleased with the way you guys competed and played.
Yeah, we fixed a lot of things from last week at Gillespie. Our offensive line did a much better job. Our kids ran hard. We threw the ball when we needed to in a couple of tight spots and made nice plays. When it comes down, when you're playing good football, teams, a couple special teams, a couple turnovers, an alignment here or there, a missed tackle, and that's exactly what happened. Vandalia had some nice athletes out in space and got us in space a couple times. We missed a couple tackles here and there. We had our chances. We really did. And, give it to them. They found a way to win.
Well, Duffy, speaking of athletes out in space, Carlinville's coming to town next week.
Yeah, yep. They're a good ball club too, but I think we can beat anybody on any given night. Anybody can in the conference when you're playing high school football. So we're going to get ready to prepare and fix what we have made mistakes this week, and we're going to win.
And your defense this year has been back to that kind of physical smash mouth type of defense, and they will need to show up pads and helmets on Friday night against Carlinville.
Yeah. Yep. Dixon's a great running back. They've got some other kids out in space that can do really well. Like I said, we're going to keep preparing, and we're going in to prepare to win a football game.
And we know one thing. The top are faithful. They're going to be out in force and be loud.
Oh, sure. Might be yelling at me, but they'll be there. Our crowd's been great this year. We need a lot of support. The kids, you know, coming off of a loss, you know, after being a 5-0, they need as many people out there as they can give them support.
And Duffy, I would assume that from a coaching perspective, you guys don't change a whole heck of a lot just because you lost one football game.
No, I mean, we're not really changing anything as far as what we do. We'll make a little adjustments here or there in practice of some things we need to work on. You know, maybe some open field tackling, you know, some reading of blocks, a couple of alignment things. But no, we told the kids, we just got done with film this morning that, we're going in, we're flushing this one away and, going to prepare this week to, play a good football team, and we're coming to win.
Look forward to it. We'll have it live on the Ox next Friday night, Carlinville at Hillsboro. Duffy, thanks for a few minutes of your time, sir, and best of luck next week.
Yep, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, tough loss for the Toppers last night in overtime, 34-27. And, boy, you get down, you miss an extra point. You have it on the one or with a second to go on the goal line. Can't punch it in. But sounds like the sloppy conditions probably played a factor in the late stages of that ball game.
Right, and heading into a tough matchup against Carlinville, it's probably hard to accurately evaluate your team in a game like last night with the conditions the way they were. So you kind of have to really evaluate the way they practice this week. And I would imagine they've got some pretty good, if not senior leadership, some pretty good player leadership.
Oh, yeah.
To where they're not satisfied with the fact that they just lost. So they'll be really hungry.
No doubt about it. And Hillsboro, Carlinville next Friday night. We'll have it with the Pizza Man pregame show live on 105.3 The Ox. And we'll stream it online as well, WSMIRadio.com and WAOX.com. And it's been that type of year. We're two-thirds of the way through the high school football season. So six games played, and three of the weeks we've had weather. Two of the weeks we had cancellations into Saturday. Last night the ball games got played, but there were sloppy conditions around the Mid-Illinois listening area last night for week number six. So it has been anything but a normal type of year as far as the weather is concerned. Hoping to catch up here with North Mac head coach Shane Owsley as the Panthers survived last night at Pleasant Plains 22-20. And North Mac is the last undefeated team left standing in the Sangamo Conference. They are 6-0. Williamsville, Marrora Forsyth, and Athens are all 5-1, and joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Shane Owsley. Shane, good morning, sir. How you doing? Sitting at 6-0.
Not too bad. It feels good to be 6-0. We didn't play real well, but we were able to get it done. So doing better than had we not.
Absolutely. It's always better to be able to teach and learn lessons after a sloppy win, is it not?
It is, and it's something that, again, I think we're finally getting the culture around here turned a little bit where, despite winning, we definitely weren't satisfied with the way we played, and we know coming forward that if we continue to play like that, then our season's going to end way before that we want it to. So, we're watching film now as we speak and getting things fixed and figured out, and hopefully we'll have a better effort next week.
Everyone knows the power of the Sangamo Conference. It's absolutely elite. But now all of a sudden, here you guys are. You control your own destiny. You're the last undefeated team standing after Athens lost last night.
Well, and that's, we pick a perfect storm. That's exactly how you have it. Like I said, we don't like to rely on anybody else to knock this person off or that person off. But we also know, like you mentioned, in the Sangamo Conference, it doesn't matter who you play. You can get beat any week and every week for that matter. So it's nice to kind of control our own destiny. And like I said, as long as we take care of our business, then nothing else really matters.
Well, you got Athens coming in to your place next week, and obviously they're coming off of that two-point loss at home against Marrora. As you look or have looked at Athens throughout the year from afar, what have you seen?
They kind of got back to what they had done in the past. You know, last year they kind of left what they had been doing before and went to a more spread look, and they kind of had mixed results with that. So they've gone back to what they're doing, running the football and being physical up front. And, it's been very, very effective for them. So they've got a couple skill kids that are pretty gifted. And like I said, the big thing is the guys up front are moving people. So when they're able to do that, then they're pretty effective.
As you look at, say, you've played Williamsville already, you've got Marrora coming up. What are the similarities and the differences, say, between a Williamsville and an Athens?
I mean, both teams are very good, but they do things very, very differently. Williamsville is more of a spread team, and they try to get their athletes out in space. space, and Athens is more of a it seems like it's more offensive and defensive line center. They want to move people and they want to plug away and plug away. And Coach Knox at Athens does a very good job of putting in some trick play, so to speak, with, you know, hook and ladders and things like that that they use and they utilized last week. And, you know, Williamsville likes to go to their stud, you know, Jace Franklin, who plays tailback, who's probably one of the best small school running backs I've seen in a long time. So they do things very differently, but, you know, they have positive results doing both things.
In your weekly preparations, when you're playing a team and a coach that is known for maybe some trickeration, how much of your practice week do you have to devote to those types of things?
Oh, I mean, it's a situation where we're always going to go over them. But again, as we've kind of moved on and had some success, we've worried less about what our opponents are doing and focus more on what we're doing. You know, we're going to make sure that the kids have seen it and kind of know what's been run in the past. But our big thing is if we take care of our business and do what we do, then what they're doing really shouldn't matter that much.
As you look at the game last night, obviously you have to be thrilled with coming out with the win like you did. As you look back at the ball game now, where are the improvements coming from last night's game?
Well, the big thing we've got to get fixed is the offensive line, and that's something that, you know, we've had games like the Williamsville game where we look like world beaters, and I felt pretty comfortable playing anybody, and then we've had the past 2 weeks where we've struggled a little bit, just blocking in general. We're having our skill guys struggle a little bit blocking on the perimeter, so, you know, it seems very simplified, but if you're not blocking well, nothing really works. So that's something that we've got to get fixed, and with the offense that we run, running the read option, we've got to make better reads from the quarterback position. And the big thing is, like I said, as long as we're getting things taken care of up front, then I like our chances.
Jim, we talked at the beginning of the year about this year trying to make it a program instead of just having one great year. You have to be very happy with where you guys are at two-thirds of the way through the year.
I am. I mean, for the most part, you know, you can't complain a whole lot when you don't have anything in the L column. It is a situation where we're continuing to try to improve. You know, I'm kind of a big proponent of you either get better or you get worse in football. There's no staying the same. And right now, you know, we played well a game, and then, you know, the next two have been bad. And we know going forward that that's not going to work, especially when you're playing the Athens and the Maroas and then moving on into the playoffs. You know, one bad week or one bad half can cost you your season. So we've got to get to a point where we're more consistent, and we need to quit messing with fire, so to speak, because at some point it's going to catch up to you and you're going to get burned.
And Shane, just from a scheduling layout, you have to like the way that it breaks down with Athens and Maroa in the two of the last three games here headed into the postseason.
It does, and it'll be something that, you know, hopefully our kids will react well to. You know, last year we ended our season with Florida, who was down a little bit last year, and I'm not sure that was the best thing going forward, you know, into the playoffs. So it's a situation where we've got a very good Athens team, we've got a Riverton team that's down a little bit, and then we've got a very good Maroa team. So, you know, there's a possibility if we can, you know, take care of our business that those last two out of three opponents could possibly be better than the opponent we're going to see in the first round of the playoffs. The other thing you have to be a little concerned about is that, you know, if something were to go wrong or go bad and you don't happen to pull one of those games off, we have to figure out, you know, how our kids are going to react to that. You know, going back to last year, you know, we lost one game, and that was in the playoffs, and we didn't get to see how we recovered from that. So hopefully that's not a situation that we have to worry about, but it is something that we haven't done, you know, since I've taken over here. So it's going to be something that the coaching staff and I are definitely going to have to work on and make sure we get kids prepared just in case that were to happen.
Yeah, you know you're going good, Shane, when you don't know how your kids will react to a loss. That's always a good thing.
It is, but again, it's something that we've kind of preached with our kids. Despite the wins, we've got to make sure that we're prepared and moving forward. You know, there's always that possibility when that other team gets off the bus that you could lose, and we just got to make sure that we don't get our heads down when things are going wrong, or, you know, at some point we were to lose, that we let that go by us and we're ready to move on to the next week.
Sounds great. Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on the win last night and best of luck next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, North Mac atop the Sangamo Conference. Of course, they won the conference last year with a perfect 9-0 mark, and here they are, 6-0 again this year, but big-time game next week. Athens coming to town, David.
It is, and, you know, you kind of get this feeling that they're a very unsatisfied 6-0 team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very hungry, because they don't feel like they, at times, obviously he said Williamsville, they felt like they played outstanding, and then the last couple weeks they've, you know, left something to be desired. So you kind of feel like they're a very hungry team heading into the last 3 weeks of the season, and that's dangerous for, you know, teams like Moreau Forsyth and Athens, who are still fighting for the conference championship.
Yeah, in some ways, I don't want to say that North Mac has played to the level of their competition this year, but maybe in some ways they have. I don't really have any doubt at all that they are going to show up with their A game next week against Athens.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I also doubt that they were looking ahead, you know, looking past a team like Pleasant Plains. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you can help from the player's perspective.
Shane Owsley wasn't, but the high school kids might have been.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, the coaches aren't, but it's sometimes it's hard for the kids not to be distracted, so.
Human nature. So congratulations to North Mac, off to a 6-0 start for the second straight year. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are counting down to the IESA-2A State Baseball Semifinal. Gillespie and T-Town coming up live at 10 o'clock this morning here on FM 106. We'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. Also, Cards Pirates today from Bush live at 11:10 this morning on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And, oh, by the way, Illini football starts Big Ten play today at Nebraska. We'll have that live at 1:30 on 105.3 The Ox. We'll take a break. Back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
9:35, now back to Sports Saturday and Tim Mize. And, Tim, kind of a dreary day today.
That way all day yesterday as well.
Not really the most ideal weather for a baseball game, as there will be junior high baseball later today. I don't know what the weather's like in Peoria, but not perfect here.
Probably not much different than it is here. If anything, probably just a little chillier and maybe a little bit windier. I know I heard Terry say yesterday during his quarterfinal broadcast that it was a breezy, blustery day up there in Peoria. And Gillespie and T-Town semifinals of the IESA State Baseball Tournament coming up live at the top of the hour here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com. And this continues just a nice run for the Gillespie Junior High sports program. If you remember, 2 years ago, so like the boys that are freshmen this year, they made it to the state championship game in seventh grade basketball. And then the girls, I believe the seventh grade Gillespie girls last year made it to the state championship game for basketball. And now this year, Jeremy Smith's baseball team into the state tournament up in Peoria. So congratulations to the Gillespie Junior High sports teams having some outstanding success here. And there's no guarantee, obviously, of translating junior high success to varsity level success, but it doesn't hurt. And Anthony Cravagna, who was the point guard for the basketball team a few years ago, a freshman this year, he's playing varsity football this year. He made a couple of very athletic moves last night, so it looks like he's going to be transitioning to the varsity level just fine. But you never know how junior high athletes will wind up performing at the varsity level. But it is certainly a good sign for Gillespie Athletics that they've had this across the board in boys and girls type of success at the junior high level, and we'll know in a couple of short seasons if that will in fact translate to the varsity level for the Gillespie Miners. So Gillespie and T-Town today. T-Town, I mean, enough said. They're always thought of as a basketball school, and rightfully so. I mean, their basketball program has an outstanding history. But David, I remember a few years ago, Southwestern's baseball team, they made it into sectional play over in Vandalia. They played T-Town. And when I started researching the Wooden Shoes a little bit for the broadcast, it was staggering, yeah, the number of championships and overall success that they had had on the baseball diamond. And I'm pretty sure I heard the IESA director say yesterday, talking to Terry, that T-Town's won the last two IESA baseball championships. So you're talking about a baseball powerhouse from, yeah, junior high all the way through high,
yeah,
school.
Yeah, the junior high talent appears to be translating into the high school talent. They're really good across the board. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter the sport, the team sport specifically. They're pretty good, so you don't want to mess with the Wooden Shoes. Are they the Wooden Shoes at the junior high level, or are they something different?
I think they're the Wooden Shoes. Now, okay, I used to be under the impression that the junior high team was the Booties instead, okay, of the Shoes, but that may not be wrong, because I thought I heard T say, well, the Shoes yesterday.
Terry will know today.
Oh, and
so
that is the best, in my opinion, nickname.
Is it?
In the state. For high school teams, the Wooden Shoes.
I have no opinion.
You have no opinion.
I have no opinion. It doesn't offend me, and it doesn't really
fire me. How could one be offended by wooden shoes?
Somebody somewhere is offended.
That's probably true.
It's the world we live in.
Hey, it wouldn't be America if somebody wasn't offended somewhere, right?
This is right. Actually, I was at the Cardinals game last night, and you know how they have that guest, the guest PA announcer, the kid who comes on? The girl was from T-Town.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
Pretty cool.
I always love the T-Town student section for basketball games. Phenomenal with the chants and the cheers. Just good stuff.
Yeah. Never actually seen T-Town in person. I've heard about them plenty, obviously, even before I started working here, because my family is kind of from that general area. So, yeah.
So we'll have it for you this morning, about 20 minutes away, Gillespie and Totopoulos, live this morning, 10 o'clock, here on WSMI FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com. High school volleyball today, the Morrisonville tournament is wrapping up. Lincolnwood, Mount Olive, and Bunker Hill all competing there. In the Carthenville volleyball invite today, you've got Valmire, Springfield Lanphier, Central A&M, Greenville, Springfield Lutheran, even the Edwardsville JV squad, and Nokomis Volleyball. They are over at the Riverton tournament for today. So the school season is in full swing. Football is two-thirds of the way done, and it'll be time for volleyball regionals here before we know it across the state of Illinois. Cards and Pirates today, 11:10 with the pregame coverage on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And the Cardinals have put themselves in a tough spot, and it's all of their own doing. If they wind up missing the playoffs, they will have no one to blame but themselves. They won last night. They're a game behind the Giants. San Francisco also won last night. So that puts the Cardinals one game back with two to play. So to get into the wild card without a one-game playoff against San Francisco, the Cardinals need to win out. The Giants need to lose out. So it is not a good spot for the Redbirds to be in for the end of the 2016 season here, as they are a game behind the Giants for that last berth in the wild card. And the Cubbies, by the way, won their 102nd game last night, their most wins since 1910. And, of course, they had a tie earlier in the week against the Pirates, sixth inning, tied at one, I think. Rains came, washed the game out. And so it was an official game, but since it didn't affect the standings and they weren't playing again in the year, they just called it officially a tie. It was the first tie in Major League Baseball since 2005. And just, I thought of this the other day, just for what it's worth, who won the World Series in 2005? A team from Chicago. The White Sox. Just saying. We'll see if it works out for the Cubbies, if they can bring home the World Series here in 2016. And they have not really had to play a meaningful pressure style game in quite some time. They clinched so long ago, did the Cubs. So we'll see what they can do in the postseason. We hope the Cardinals at least get a chance to perform in the postseason. We'll see if they can get it done today. They really need to win today and beat the Pirates again tomorrow to have any type of opportunity. We'll have live coverage coming up 11:10 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. We're going to take a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. When we come back, I think we're going to start to get set for the state baseball semifinal from the Eastside Center in East Peoria. T-Tote will have the call. Terry is standing by. We will come back and start talking Gillespie Indians baseball following these messages on WSMI.
9:46 on your Sports Saturday morning. Now back to Tim Mize in Studio A, and we have Terry on the other end as well. Tim?
All right, David, thank you very much. And Terry Tote will have the call of the Gillespie Totopoulos IESA State Baseball Semifinal coming up at the top of the hour here on FM 106. And, Terry, what's the weather like in East Peoria?
Just for the headphones. Say again, Tim?
What is the weather like in East Peoria this morning?
Well, the weather is, I'll tell you why. I've got Chuck Collins, who's the weatherman here for the several TV stations in Peoria and the East Peoria area. Chuck, give us the weather forecast for today, my friend.
Well, more of the same as we had yesterday. It's kind of like Groundhog Day out here. At 61, the temperatures have stayed steady overnight, so the temperature's not too bad. At 61, we have rain to our west and to our east, and so right now just cloudy skies and maybe a little bit of a mist, but it looks like the heaviest of the rain staying east of us, and west of us. So if we play our cards right, we'll keep this window open for most of the day.
And I'm not a very good card player, Tim, but I'm telling you, he has been a pretty good card player because we got through the ball games all day yesterday without any problems. It was a little damp, but the ballparks are in good shape, and the Pawnee game is already underway. Pawnee is playing a Normal Epiphany in the semifinal in Class 1A. Coming up here in 2A, of course, Gillespie will take on T-Town in a matchup of teams that have 29 wins between the both of them. And so we're ready to go for junior high baseball here in the semifinals at the IEFA State Baseball Tournament. By the way, T-Town beat Chillicothe yesterday in the quarterfinals, 4-3. Gillespie defeated Beecher 11-1. In the other quarterfinal round games, Winona Fieldcrest over Deer Creek Mackinac 4-3. And St. Joseph beat Moroa Forsyth 7-3. So T-Town and Gillespie in one semi, Winona Fieldcrest and St. Joseph in the other semifinal in Class 2A. Should Pawnee win their semifinal today, they'll be playing in the championship later this afternoon. The other semifinal in 1A is Joliet St. Paul against Monmouth ICS. And winners yesterday in 3A, the teams from across the center part of the state, Minooka beat Mount Zion 4-3, Charleston over Pleasant Plains 2-0, and Mokena defeated Glenwood 7-0. So really most of the mid-Illinois 3A teams have been eliminated from the tournament at this point. But we're getting ready for the Gillespie Indians, a pretty good crowd on hand. I think yesterday was a bigger crowd because a lot of the kids had an opportunity to ride buses and get out of school and do that sort of thing. But still an outstanding crowd here from both Gillespie and T-Town. T-Town's one of these teams. Yeah, it's T-Town. You know, they've won last year. They won it the year before. They won it the year before that. They also won it in 2011 and finished second in 2010. So it'll be a tough matchup for the Gillespie Indians, but the Indians played very well yesterday, and at least getting a game, you know, in the books certainly has to help their confidence.
Well, Terry, in their first state tournament game, like you said, that type of atmosphere, to go out and have a 10-run victory, that's a statement.
That is a statement. They played very well yesterday. You know, they didn't have any errors, and there were some miscues on behalf of Beecher yesterday that the Indians were able to take advantage of. So, you know, all in all, it turned out to be a good day and good pitching. I think the Miners or the Indians, Aiden Madeline only gave up 3 hits on the day. He did have, I think, maybe 4 or 5 walks in the ball game. But yesterday, Beecher went through at least 4 pitchers, if memory serves me right. They had 3 or 4 errors in the ball game. So, you know, it was a tough day for Beecher. And you know, every team has to be pretty good to get to this level. And you kind of have to feel sorry for Beecher, but we're feeling really good about the Gillespie Indians.
And Terry, for those of us maybe not totally familiar with how junior high baseball works, there is an innings restriction on the pitchers.
There is an innings restriction upon the pitchers, yeah. And you know, the folks here in the booth where we're sitting keep track of all that. You're allowed to pitch so many innings over the course of 2 days here. And the funny thing about that is, of course, the IESA and the IHSA are both reviewing that. They're going to be reviewing that process and those restrictions, and we may see even more narrow-banded restrictions concerning pitching, and not only in the state tournament series games, but it could happen during regular season games beginning next year. So that's, you know, as we see more and more pitchers, even at the, you know, at the lower levels of baseball, have trouble with arms and, you know, Tommy John surgery and shoulder problems and stuff like that. We're seeing more and more thinking about the restrictions being put on pitchers and making sure that the kids don't, you know, blow out their arms when they're 16 years old.
Well, Terry, this past spring, Gillespie, they hosted a baseball regional. They were playing Dupo, and the pitcher for Dupo, he threw like 130 pitches in their regional win over Gillespie. So that kind of goes to what you were talking about. And, of course, Jeremy Smith, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners at the varsity level, also the head coach of the Indians here today. And Jeremy's a great baseball guy, and he's really building a good foundation of baseball.
Yes, he is. And some very familiar names for Gillespie ball players here and that you'll recognize as the game goes along. And in fact, they're starting to introduce the Gillespie Indians right now. So I think we're getting ready for the broadcast to begin here in just a minute or so. Tim?